Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Sketch Reporters Assemble!
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
Okay, you heard it. It's the Sports Reporters. We have assembled because it is Friday afternoon, a gorgeous Friday afternoon here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Andrew Hammond, how is the weather up there in Detroit of the Detroit Free Press?
It's
Andrew Hammond.
It's beautiful out here in the 70s. I think it's going to top off at 70 today. So, no, it's very, very good.
I'm glad to hear it. I hope it's beautiful everywhere today because it's been a good week. We got good news from the CDC this week. Things are looking up. Things are looking up, Milhouse, if you will. Also here, Robert Silverman of the Daily Beast up there in New York City. How is New York today, Bob?
It's a lovely 71 degrees and sunny. It's a bright spring day here in Gotham, the Big Apple. I'm not doing like morning radio weather like the weather guy. But yeah, it's a nice day. Working hard for the man.
What do you guys have any big weekend plans?
I am going to be sitting quietly at home finishing a long overdue story this weekend. So, and watch the last two Knicks games. So it's a real party time for me. I am street legal now, though. I am 2 weeks out of my vaccine, my second shot. So I'm raring to go, man. Hugging and kissing people all over the place. No, I'm not doing that. I'm sitting at home doing some work, and then I'm going to watch the Knicks.
There you go. There you go. Andrew, what about you?
Was going to go to the Tigers and Cubs game this weekend, but I have a project that I will talk to you guys about post-show that I'm working on. So I'm going to spend my Sunday working on that. So yeah, a little teaser for you guys, not the rest of the audience. So who cares about them?
Yikes, they missed you, Andrew.
Hammond's been cast in the third Ant-Man movie, Quantumania. That's great.
Yeah,
and so he's on a day rate, so he's going to be doing that.
Basically, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what kind of tire situation Bob's going to deal with, because my tire blew last Thursday night Andrew's blue this morning, but Bob doesn't drive and lives in New York City, so I don't know what tire. Do you cycle at all, Bob?
Somebody's going to throw a tire iron at him.
Oh,
I am trying to get back into cycling. I have not consistently ridden a bike in, I'm going to need both fingers, both hands and feet to count all the years, a long time since I was living abroad when I was bicycling everywhere. But my significant other, she's from Canada, you guys wouldn't know her, has been encouraging me to start biking places in lieu of taking the subway. We were that couple that, you know, got in on the tulip frenzy and bought bicycles when it looked like who knew when the New York City transit system would get back in gear. But she's encouraging me for health and exercise to bike again. So we have an e-bike.
As you should.
A what bike?
An e-bike, an electronic bicycle.
Like, is it what it sounds like? It's like a Peloton? What is the situation?
No.
Here?
Jesus Christ, Chase.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bicycle. Mm-hmm. It is not a moped or a motorcycle. It is still a bicycle. You have to pedal it, but over the course of pedaling it, you will build up a certain amount of energy. So if you need to, say, go up a hill for a long stretch, you have an actual motor attached to the bicycle.
Do
which
you really?
To help you. Yeah.
Huh.
It really, cool. From bicycling experts, and for those who are used to doing long bike trips, like, the pedaling-assisted stretches with the motor where normally you'd be dying and your muscles would be screaming out in pain no longer exist. It is quite, quite, quite delightful, I've been told. So maybe it'll blow a tire.
Okay. I like it. Well, I would just take a week off, Bob. I wouldn't do it next week based on bad things happen in threes.
Bad juju in the wheel world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Speaking of bad juju, the Los Angeles Lakers.
I'm so mad at them for beating the Knicks. I know it is Knicks hour on the Chase Thomas podcast, but that game made me mad. It made me mad both on and offline. Ugh. Frickin' blew it.
Bob, do you want a good laugh?
Sure.
Any Duke fan will tell you that last RJ Barrett shot, yeah. What do you think we saw in 2019? Like... That
it was a broken play. He maybe could have slipped the ball to Taj Gibson rolling to the hoop for a second, but the Lakers defended that well. That was not
seen it.
Not to be a Duke apologist, but that was not RJ Barrett's fault.
It wasn't. But just know that Duke fans have seen that play before. So the fact that he just kind of also he was doing that a little bit last year too. Yeah. Only in regulation, like not like in a desperate.
RJ Barrett is shooting 44% from 3-point range since the All-Star break. No one denies this. Look, as much as I would like to celebrate in Duke fans' misery, I will not allow for too much RJ Barrett slander on the pod here, fellas.
No, that's fine. That's fine. No, you know what? Good for the Knicks. and I say this in all
that's
sincerity.
Some pity support from Andrew Hammond there, folks.
No, I say this in all sincerity. Like, good for them for actually getting on the right track with something. Because, you know, they've done this before, but then James Dolan finds a way to just, you know, piss it all away. Like, he'll like, oh, well, let me... It's like a child driving. Like, you don't want to put your 8-year-old behind the wheel, but the 8-year-old wants to steer the wheel. No, don't let the 8-year-old steer the wheel. You keep James Dolan away from things just enough, and I think there's a little
they
success.
They did do that. They have. And James Dolan got so frustrated at not being able to stick his grimy fingers into the Knicks that he totally...
He went to the Rangers? He went to the Rangers!
Ignored for a good 15 years, James Dolan owned the Rangers and yet really didn't pay too much attention to them. Although there was one instance where he went to the locker room and started bugging a player from Norway about why he didn't come see his band while the band was playing in Norway. I think that was the extent of James Dolan's meddling with the Rangers. Yeah, but not being able to meddle with the Knicks, he just fired everybody. After
I needed to fire somebody.
After an understandably sub par, but still vaguely promising season, he decided that improvement was not happening quickly enough and fired beloved longtime Rangers announcer and former player and fairly universally respected throughout hockey, according to hockey knowers that I've heard from, John Davidson.
Yeah, why? Why?
Because he got bored. He got angry and bored that he wasn't able to dicky around with the Knicks, and so the Rangers were right there for him to play with.
God, he is just the worst.
He's very bad. He's very bad. I mean, look, aside from being there are a whole, again, I think we've hashed this out on the pod before, but there are a whole litany of things that James Dolan has done that have absolutely nothing to do with whether the Rangers and the Knicks, and for a brief period there, the Liberty, were any good or not, that make him a human being who could be worthy of contempt, let's say.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Everyone's experienced the pain of dropped calls and internet outages, especially working remotely this last year. So here's the question. If you're the telco company, how do you help create better experiences for customers? Simple. ServiceNow digital workflows can help solve network problems faster and provide real-time status updates so customers aren't left in the dark. That's probably why ServiceNow workflows have helped telco companies see an increase in customer satisfaction. But proactive customer communication's only half the battle. With a single view of your back, middle, and front office operations, ServiceNow workflows also eliminate silos, keeping teams more in sync and more productive. With our scalable services, companies assure a better experience for both customers and employees on a single platform, the Now Platform. So how do you help provide a better network experience for customers? With ServiceNow for telecommunications to help streamline network operations. Whatever your business is facing, let's workflow it. ServiceNow.
Which brings us back to the Lakers and their
Lakers
and their play-in game status. I
have to say I'm worried about Marv Albert, guys. So this is only tangentially about the Lakers.
Mm. Are we going to combine Chris Webber into this conversation?
No, we'll get there in a sec, though. But Marv and Reggie were calling the game the other night, and which is already a bad for opening sentence. But Marv was doing this thing where he was trying to tease the upcoming HBO Showtime series about the Lakers, and you know the fact that Adrian Brody is playing Pat Riley and John C. Riley is playing Jerry Buss, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It was the first time I think I'd heard Marv call the game in a while, and he had lost a couple of miles per hour off his fastball. Is how I would put it. I think maybe he can be done with this now. It's up to him. I'm perfectly willing to sit through a kind of washed Marv Albert over about 95% of the play-by-play guys in the NBA, but that, whoa, after not hearing him for a while, that was a little upsetting.
How old is
he?
Not going to do really? Ages, but...
No, I'm just curious.
He's got to be, I'd say maybe 78, something like that.
Very close. He will turn...
He'll turn 80 this year.
He will turn 80.
Holy crap.
On June 2nd.
What will his toupee turn?
Marv Albert got his start doing Knicks games on the radio, and his mentor was Marty Glickman. for all you old-time sports play-by-play guys will know about Mad Marty Glickman, but Marv Albert's been at this for a while, guys.
Bob, do you think he wears a toupee?
Yeah, he wears a toupee. That's not his real hair. Come on.
I know, I'm joking. The
thing is, like, someone cut off a crow's wing and stapled it to his head. It's been terrible for 30 years now.
Do you remember when Cowherd dyed his hair when he first moved to Fox Sports?
I did not.
I'm sorry.
You got to look at it.
I remember seeing this on the internet. There was a brief period where suddenly a bunch of FS1 personalities, their hair suddenly got a lot more thick and luscious.
No, Bob, you're being nice about it. Nick Wright's hair came back.
So did Whitlock's.
Whitlock had a mop top, basically.
It was very. All I'm saying is
he had a scrub pad on his head.
There was a lot of hair regrowth during a very short period.
Wasn't there a commercial, or wasn't there like a big sponsor for like hair growth on that show, or like on all their shows?
That's
what kind of ended up happening. Like, I was like, why is everybody getting hair jobs now?
And let me say this. I understand. Look, granted, I don't work in TV, so that's an additional pressure. But I understand being vain and even say sad about hair loss as a men's. Speaking as a men's, you know, my hair is still pretty good. My troops are retreating in parts of the battlefield.
And proud of you.
I don't think, like Napoleon, we're going to be able to win a land war in Russia. But, you know, I still got a good head of hair for my age. And I am grateful for that, knock on wood. But if I were completely bald at this point, that would bug me. And if there were a treatment that would allow me to get away with it, or even not really get away with it, I don't know if I had the funds that I would say no. I really don't. I think that might be an okay thing. I think the fact that it all happened in a very short period of time was hilarious, but I understand the motivation for Nick Wright and Jason Whitlock. Both of whom, though, I don't know if you get to then pull the "no, I'm not wearing a hairpiece" line. That was kind of funny.
That was, oh my God. Because like I'd say for basically the majority of my life, Whitlock has had a fade, or, you know, if he's going to go bald, it was one of those things where, like, when he went to ESPN and he was starting to go bald a little bit, he just decided to go bald.
Yeah.
So I was like,
he shaved his head, I think.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, I get it. Like, my dad kind of, you know, it's like, hey, he would just naturally go bald. Like, he could grow hair, but it was one of those things where it's like, I'm just going to go bald because, well, I'm not going to fight the battle that's coming, you know, 3-4 years down the road. But, like, when I saw Jason Whitlock with that terrible Brillo pad on his head, I thought it was like a hat, or it was like he's wearing a hat or something. I was like, is something wrong with the TV? And then I saw, like, a picture of it, and I'm just like, why? Like, why? And then Nick Wright, who I've known for a while, has always been bald. And all of a sudden, he has hair now?
Maybe they got a 2-for-1 deal. Who knows?
What? It's like, do bad opinions come with the hair once you go to Fox? Like, Jesus Christ.
I'm willing to unleash all kinds of terrible takes in exchange for hair regrowth.
Right.
That's the devil's bargain.
God.
It is strange. I listened to him on Tom Haberstroh's podcast this week, because I don't really know much about him, and I don't watch talking heads on sports stuff during the day, and I don't...
Proud of you.
It's just a waste of time. Like, it's a gigantic... I can't...
Interrupts with your steady diet of King of Queens episodes.
Well, hold on, Bob. Hold on. We don't have to go at King of Queens here. We do not have to bring...
We don't have to.
And no. It's a delightful show. Did you know that... They had an Instagram post today about, like, the... I think it might be 14 years since the series finale. What a show.
It's been 14 years since the series finale? Jesus, I feel old.
I know. Kevin. Oh, speaking of bald guys, Kevin James is now bald.
Speaking of feeling old, there was a... there was an announcement that came out today about the lineup for this year's Riot Fest in Chicago. And let me tell you, it is hitting my demographic right in the goddamn feels. It is, God.
Please tell me the lineup.
Let me read some names for you. This year's Riot Fest will include Nine Inch Nails.
Okay.
The Pixies.
Okay.
Devo.
Wait, excuse me?
Devo.
Jesus.
The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
So basically this is 1992?
That's right. Dinosaur Jr.
Oh my God, this is 1992.
Gogol Bordello, The Circle Jerks.
Oh my God, it is 1992.
Fishbone.
You're going to have some cross colors on, Bob?
Yeah, and let me tell you this. Not only is Faith No More playing,
oh my
God, Mr. Bungle 2. Both of his vanity projects at the same time, Faith No More and Mr. Bungle.
So are you're going, correct?
I am tempted to go to Chicago, put on some camo cargo shorts, and just rock out.
You better go and wear a Dream Team oversized t-shirt.
Yeah.
Because
y'all can go together. 19. Chicago and Detroit are not that far apart, correct?
Yeah, but it depends on like when it's happening. I do plan
September
on going.
September 17th through the 19th.
September 17th through the 19th?
That's
a no-go because football season.
I'm also going to Bonnaroo, which I believe is September.
That's in Chicago.
No, September. No. Bonnaroo is in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. So.
Oh, that's right. Didn't it used to be like in the summer, but then they moved it or something like that? Yeah.
Probably because it's too hot and people are tripping way too much in the heat and not staying hydrated. And maybe
so better. Funny story about Bonnaroo. I was actually supposed to go in 2010. And then I had an internship. And then the weekend I was like, oh, hey, they actually might let me off to go to Bonnaroo with my friends because we were going to take like a big like RV. Then Nebraska left the Big 12, and yeah, I didn't sleep much for the next week.
It's always Nebraska. They
Chase,
just ruin everything.
I'm going to send you some links to some Mr. Bungle songs because I get the feeling that you have not. This is not a band you know about and have felt in your bones.
You know what's funny about it, Bob, is that like you're naming off these bands and I'm like, oh my God, I remember seeing these bands on like my first, like when I was young and watching MTV in like 93, 94.
Yep.
I like the when I got the concept of shapes and colors and movement. and I'm just like, oh yeah, like you were naming off all these bands and I'm like, this is some 1992-ass bullshit.
Wait, Andrew, how old are you?
I am 32. I turned 32 April 5th.
Okay. You're only 2 years older than me. That's what I was wondering.
So, like, I'm super, not old school, but, like, I have a decent memory of, like, watching, like, so, like, when Beavis and Butthead was on. Like, I remember watching that and, like, laughing, and the mom was like, you can't watch Beavis and Butthead. And I was like, oh. And I was, like, 5, 6 years old, but I'm the type that's, like, I was – you know how, like, kids are, like, 2, 3 years old, and they can, like, work a – like, an iPhone or a tablet, like, with just precision? I was doing that with the remote.
It's very disturbing. My
It is.
My 7-year-old nephew – my 7-year-old nephew knows exactly how to, like, fire up all the bells and whistles on any smartphone.
I'm gonna restrict my kids.
The name of it is being called, like, this is a phenomenon. It's referred to as being digital native. The technology that you grow up with as a child, somehow through osmosis, you possess an innate understanding of how to operate it and make it function in ways that we olds, will struggle to do.
That makes sense. That actually makes some sense. But yeah, like it's just when you're naming off all these bands, I'm like, who's the headliner
for Bonnaroo?
Riot Fest. Actually, yeah, Riot Fest and Bonnaroo.
I think Bonnaroo is Meg Thee Stallion.
I feel like Riot Fest is leading off with bands that. Some of which I'm not as big a fan of. The lead acts, the first is Nine Inch Nails, which shouts to Trent Reznor.
You mean Academy Award winner Trent Reznor.
He's an Emmy away from being an EGOT.
That is impressive. The Animal Guy is going to get an EGOT.
There you go. It's Nine Inch Nails, Smashing Pumpkins and Run the Jewels are the three top acts.
Okay. So, like, Smashing
Pumpkins. But Billy Corgan's been canceled, so I didn't want to mention
it. Wait, has he?
Yeah. He's got some bad takes.
Oh. Well,
yeah,
he's running a professional wrestling promotion right now.
Well, yeah. And that's where some of the bad takes showed up.
That show is really bad. Please, folks,
but
do
let's
not watch
keep it
above. Power.
Ooh, it, you know what? It worked for a little bit, then Jim Cornette decided to open his big fat mouth and thinking that he was running Mid-South in the 80s again. No, Jim, that it doesn't work like that. Run the Jewels, I got beef with Killer Mike, so yeah, I'm good on that.
You got beef with Killer Mike?
You know who else is
Atlanta
playing
legend
Riot
Killer
Fest?
Mike.
Killer Mike is hip-hop Emmanuel Acho.
Wow.
Oh.
Wow. That's a deep cut.
If you think about it, it's accurate.
I just want to say that I didn't even notice this when I first glanced at the poster, and that's to my, and I'm feeling bad about that now, but Gwar is playing at
Oh my God. Can you imagine? You know, like these days, you know, basically parents will take their like, seven to like 12 year old kid and like, yeah, this is the music I grew up on. They become like, and those kids become super. Yeah, Gwar's gonna like scar an
Look,
entire
Jimmy,
generation.
It's Odorous Urungus.
Oh man, you know what, the visual for that actually might be worth going.
There was on campaign years ago to try to get Gwar to play to be the band for the Super Bowl. It didn't work, but Gwar was
That's actually very, very funny.
I would look, Gwar should be the act for the Super Bowl. No one denies this. It is absolutely the kind of like peak Weimar era decadence that this country deserves. Like, Gwar is our most American band.
I feel like we need to get Gwar and like the most like ratchet hip hop. Just Trillville, yes. Gwar and Trillville doing the halftime show together. A la the MTV halftime show with like NSYNC, Britney Spears, and all of them. Like this, a large ensemble performance of just absolute what is going on here.
Yeah, I would watch that. I would tune in for that more than whatever happened when there was the meme of the guy getting lost this year that I didn't entirely.
Oh, The Weeknd? Yeah. Yeah. That was.
Look, if I would prefer Gwar shooting all kinds of disturbing fluids at members of the audience during the Super Bowl halftime show. I feel like that would send a message about where we are as a species right now. That would be good for me. In any case.
Also, you don't have to care. I don't understand this whole thing. Like, I don't care about the Super Bowl halftime show. I don't care about any of this. People get really upset. I'm like, I have not watched a Super Bowl halftime show.
No, you don't have to care, but it's one of the rare moments where everyone is, and this is also stupid, but everyone is tuned into the exact same thing at the exact same time. And those kind of shared cultural moments, I think, are important, even if they're ridiculous. I think that's okay. I think it's okay that people tune in to watch the halftime show because they want to see
it. Oh, I said it's okay. I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying that, like, me personally, it would be feigning interest or feigning.
I don't think anyone cares. I think you're.
No, people do. Absolutely. I was at a Super Bowl party this year and people cared. Yes. I absolutely will tell you that people care.
You and I. Okay.
Yes, maybe it's a different perspective, but I've noticed that people do care, and people would.
But it's a generational thing, though.
Maybe that's
it's a generational thing because, like, I was maybe one of like maybe 18% of black people in America that were kind of excited The Who was performing at the Super Bowl because, one, The Who kicks ass. But yeah, like, everybody's like, I don't want to see them old dudes on stage. And then we got to see, you know, Pete Townsend shirt was not fitting. And so people got to see, you know, old man belly button, which was hilarious. Like, that's the thing, like, about the Super Bowl halftime show, like, that we remember and, like, how everything is a viral moment now or tries to be a viral moment now. Like, I miss when you could just enjoy the performance, but now it's like we're all searching for, oh, there's the next meme, there's the next meme, and it's just like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. Like, The Weeknd, basically, it was just all cocaine and vibes.
That sounds like a good time to me.
Yeah, well, yeah. It was that's all it was. It was like, I mean, I felt nothing from it, and I was more in the mode of, all right, let's get this over. Let's see if Mahomes can come back. There are some times where the Super Bowl halftime performance is a good break and you can enjoy it, but then sometimes it's just kind of like, all right, hurry up. Just hurry up. Let's get out of here.
Which naturally brings us to Chris Webber. being removed from TNT. Do you think this was like a mutual decision, like they're claiming, or do you think he was actually just like let go?
Based on no actual knowledge, it didn't seem like Chris Webber seemed to enjoy doing that job.
No.
I have a feeling he was fine with it. I could be wrong.
I wouldn't want to do that job. It's not a very fun job.
It's a hard job. It's not easy. It's hard to do well, as many Reggie Millers have shown. It's not an easy job to do well.
Who's the best?
Who's the best play-by...
No, honestly, the color commentary. Who's the best... I know play-by-play is Breen.
Are we sticking to basketball? Is this just a basketball
NBA.
Thing?
Yeah, just NBA.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't say Doris Burke, I'll bleep it out.
No. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Doris, yes. But in terms of who I can listen to, I could listen to these two guys call a middle school game, and I'd be interested. Actually, three people.
Okay.
Candace Parker,
mm-hmm.
Jim Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Steve Smith. Steve Smith during the tournament was really solid.
Jim Jackson's really good.
Jim Jackson and I forgot the guy who does the Phillies broadcast, but those two. No, it was Avery Johnson and the Phillies broadcaster.
Avery Johnson's
Twain. Here's the thing. Avery Johnson is great on TV because, one, he's himself. He's not trying to, be too professional.
Certainly not. No.
But it's coach speak. Like, it's like sitting down, breaking down film with a coach. That's what it's like with Avery.
The answer is actually still Hubie Brown, but it's okay that you guys have others.
I don't
hate that. Yeah.
But Hubie just... You were talking about the fastball.
Hubie's been doing the exact same thing for 25 years. I can understand people tired of it. It's still Hubie for me.
My uncle met him.
I love
passively.
It when he switches into the second person. Like, okay, you're Tim Duncan. You know you can get to your spot at the nail at any time you want. And I'm like, I am. I can do this. But Hubie treating every single NBA player like a delightful grandchild who just managed to eat some mushed peas without spilling them over his shirt. To me, that's
okay.
He does.
Who's y'all's favorite like duo? If you could have like your favorite across all sports, who's your favorite duo? For me, it's probably still Herbie and Chris Fowler.
Yeah, Herbie and Fowler doing the NFL better than anybody at all three networks aside from Nance and Romo in that week one game was pretty damn impressive. But once again, it's two people that have worked together for over 20 years. So it meshes super, super well. Yeah, like Herbie and Fowler are solid. Billis and Shulman are pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty solid. Like I look at it as, can I listen to you call a game at, you know, in a half empty high school gym. Like that's kind of my measurement for are you a listenable broadcast? Like, because there are some guys who are super, super humorous and like to crack jokes during games, which works. But then you have some that are just too basically wooden. But Fowler and Herbie, like that Monday night game was so good. And I'm kind of glad they aren't on Monday Night Football. I'm in the minority. I don't think the current crew is that bad. Like, people want this, like, they want basically the second coming of, you know, Cosell, Gifford, and Meredith. That ain't happening. And once again, there's a generation like, who are those guys?
Man.
For me, it's Gary, Keith, and Ron. Full stop.
Oh, very, very easy. Very easy.
That's easy. That's easy. I'm sorry. Because Mets games are often just painful and or excruciatingly dull or frustrating or some combination of the above. And the broadcast is you could not replicate what it is they do for any other broadcast crew or any other sport or any other team, I don't think. And again, that's a trio that's been together now for close to 15 years. It really just both Darling and Hernandez are very smart about talking about the game itself. And Hernandez is just a wild card because you never know exactly what he's going to say. And it's delightful every single time. There was a moment 2 weeks ago, I think, where Keith's iPad goes off in the middle of the game. And both Gary and Ron turn to him and say, what was that? Like, did you guys hear that? What was that? And Keith's like, yeah, that's my iPad. It's all right. It's all right. And they're like, are you okay, Keith? And they go, yeah, yeah, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. Like, well, tell us what's wrong. And Hernandez proceeds to tell this story about how he had a friend drop by his house tonight to feed his cat Haji. But the friend broke the key off in the door and couldn't get in, and now the front door is locked. And so they say, well, can't you get in the back door to get in the house? And Keith goes, no, I lost the key for that. I don't know. That's not working either. Yeah, I got a guy who's coming by. He's going to try to jimmy the lock without going to call a locksmith. He's going on about this whole story. And Gary Cohen says, well, Keith, if you need a place to stay tonight. And at that point, Dominic Smith hits a home run exactly in sync with the Nick Castellanos, Tom Brenneman moment from last year. So he's going, well, Keith, I hope you have a place to stay tonight. If you're really in trouble, you can. And there's a drive deep to left field by Dom Smith. Way back, and that's out of here, 4-0 Mets. If you need a place to stay tonight, I'm sure that can be worked out.
That is hilarious. No, my favorite thing about Keith Hernandez and Ron Darling is, like, Ron Darling on the TBS broadcast, I don't know if he's going to come back for the TBS broadcast. But yeah, fine. No, he's fine. But it's like, he's not in his element. He's really not, like... Okay.
It doesn't work the same. He is very good with just him and Cohen when Hernandez gets a day off. It is not nearly as good as the three of them together. And Ron Darling, when he's put with a Turner play-by-play guy, Darling is fine. You can absolutely listen to
Darling and Anderson are pretty solid.
There's nothing wrong about it, but it does not reach nearly the same conversational heights as it would. Like the other day, midday during a Mets game, the Mets Orioles game, Gary Cohen notices that Joan Jett is in the stands at Citi Field wearing an Orioles hat. And he begins to tell a story about seeing the Runaways at the Savoy Ballroom in 1980. And then downshifts into, and Kristen Stewart did a wonderful job playing Joan Jett in the movie. Meanwhile, Joan Jett's still here, queen of rock and roll, looking great, wearing the Elaine Benes Orioles hat. And then he goes back to calling the action. Like, That level of digression was just, wait, what? it is what makes, I honestly can say that if Gary, Keith, and Ron were not continuing to call the Mets, I would probably have stopped watching Mets games, because they're usually very bad and they make me feel sad inside. So, but those, knowing that those guys are just going to be around for 3 hours as background conversational noise, it seals the deal.
What are your opinions on Rex Hudler?
Yeah.
Like it'll get worse. Like his
it's
stick
fine.
Works,
it gets a little
but
guys
it's,
being dudes too much.
Yeah.
But it's fine. It's fine in small doses. Look, I am very prickly about the kind of announcers I like. I've even said, and I know I should be excommunicated for this, that I've grown weary of Clyde Frazier's shtick with the Knicks.
I haven't watched a Knicks game on MSG or NBA League Pass. I haven't done a League Pass thing since 2018.
There was really no reason to watch the Knicks for the last 8 years.
Right, because, well, that and the Knicks, suck. So it was do I want to watch a Knicks game tonight? No, I'd rather, talk to my family or something.
yeah, I feel like Clyde's great, and Clyde's a New York institution. I feel like he has put it on autopilot for at least for a long time. And I think, look, if you are just tuning in to one or two Knicks games to get the Clyde Frazier experience, it is fine and good and fun, and you can understand entirely why he is so universally beloved. But on a regular basis, I can predict exactly what he is going to say before he says it at this point. I think it's kind of the same way for Bill Walton. Like, Bill Walton is a delightful human being and awesome, and I love Bill Walton, but Bill Walton's shtick...
Walton funny as hell.
Walton's funny as hell, but I think if I was listening to Pac-12 college basketball games every night, that would start to grate.
So here's the thing about Walton. You can take Walton in small doses, but the thing about Walton is, if you listen to a Bill Walton game, say, on a Thursday, and he's doing a game on Saturday, don't listen to it. or don't listen to it from the start. Hop in, midway through.
The thing for me about Walton is, when he was doing NBC games in the late 90s, he was doing a trollish proto-Cowherd.
He absolutely was.
Right. And it was awful. I hated it. I hated it with the fire of a thousand suns. I was like, I don't want to listen to this person just spewing hyperbole because he thinks it's funny. I didn't like it. So it makes me question if when he says,
but he was also more
now,
he was also more analytical and critical then.
Yeah, it makes me call into question whether or not the commentary he's offering now is sincere, which is not really the right term, because no one doing color commentary is doing anything sincere. It is a performance of some kind. It's all a performance of some kind.
But
it
sucks.
Right, which is fine. But and I know that Gary, Keith, and Ron are doing a performance. They do not, if they were hanging out together and they happen to invite me along, which they absolutely should do, and you guys, call me. But if they were hanging together, it would clearly not sound, the conversation would be different than it would be for calling a Mets game. That is the nature of the medium changes the stylistic conversation. I know it is not, I am not authentically being let into three guys talking about the game they love. And so everyone is doing a performance. So talking about authenticity in and of itself is kind of a faux piste, if we can get fancy here for a second. But with Walton, just because I've heard him play a different kind of character, a heel, if you will, it makes me question the sort of delightful, spiritual, wavy gravy type that he's leaning into now. It makes it feel insincere.
Well, the one line that Bill Walton said that I will never forget, and it's the funniest thing ever, is they're calling the Pac-12 championship game in basketball. And, I mean, this is maybe 2-3 minutes in, and there's kind of a Like a light tussle underneath, you know, going for a ball as a jump ball or whatever. And Dave Pasch is, you know, saying, oh, they're, you know, a referee stepping in to break things up. And Bill Walton's like, oh, let him go. You know, and he was actually kind of making a point in terms of, like, you know, letting him play it out in terms of, you know, he thought the referee stepped in a little too early. And Dave Pasch kind of said, yeah, you might have a point there, you know, let him sort it out. But what Dave Pasch kind of led into was Bill Walton saying, hey, Dave, you ever been in a Turkish prison before? And for like, and
it's
just,
it's a line from Airplane.
No, it wasn't. Have you been to a Turkish prison? It was, have you ever visited a prison waiting room? That's what it was.
Well,
and,
there you go.
And he's like,
yeah,
no.
That's bad. Don't do that.
It was like, what? But the thing is, it's like, the thing I like about Walton is, he can give you some, he'll give you some decent play-by-play analysis, but then 5 minutes later, he's talking about, like, one of my other favorite lines from Walton was, it was right after Arizona, the whole, you know, Nike scandal, when Arizona's portion came out, like, the day before they were going to play Oregon or something, or they were going to play UCLA, and Walton's doing an Oregon game that night. And he's like, I'm so mad at what's going on. And I'm just like, of course you are, Bill. You were so mad that you were going to ride your bike up a mountain because you were so angry that Sean Miller basically kind of knew what was going on and didn't really do anything about it. That's another funny situation that Arizona kind of dealt with. knowing what's going on, and then Sean Miller just shows up to the office one day, and they're like, oh, crap, you're still here? Yeah, huh, we might need to do something about that. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it there on this Friday afternoon, guys. Do you have anything you would like to plug as we wrap up here on a beautiful Friday afternoon? Bob, anything for you?
Nah.
Andrew, yourself?
Not right now. Maybe in a few weeks or so.
Okay. Well, don't forget, folks, if you like listening to Andrew and Bob and myself talk, I guess, sports, every single Friday afternoon on this very podcast. Subscribe.
Chase is really leaning into the NPR All Things Considered voice
right
on today's episode. If you like listening to the Chase Thomas podcast, please consider making a tax-deductible contribution. This is the Chase Thomas podcast with your guests, Robert Silverman and Andrew Hammond.
All right, you heard it. It is the Atlanta Sports Guys, because, you know, it is Friday afternoon. I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am one of those Atlanta Sports Guys that we do this very podcast every single Friday afternoon, where I'm joined by the number one ranked Garrett Chapman.
Heyo.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. I hope you are. Are you still up in Knoxville?
I am still up in Knoxville. I'm staying for a little bit. Yeah, I finished up school, so I'm halfway done with my master's degree.
Congrats.
Here at UT. So that's cool. But yes, I will be in Knoxville for the summer. I think I'm going to make my way through Atlanta again, I think in 2 weeks, because we're going to go to Jacksonville to see some family. So
nice.
And I want to go to the beach and see if I can get a tan. Like, we're going to see if the Pale Warrior can get a little bit of a base going. So
I've never been able to do that. That's never been one of my strong suits.
Well, that's because you have red hair, as we've been over on this podcast.
I have absolutely no idea where that came from. That still blows my mind. Max, I don't think you were on that one. I think we were on with Kelsey that week. But we did.
That's just sort of a universal truth, though.
I don't have red hair, though.
Max, he has red hair, right?
I don't have red hair.
I mean, it looks like it in the picture.
See?
Brutal. I'm offended. I'm gonna send screenshots. I'm gonna send like selfies of myself.
I mean honestly, I think you need to do a poll, a Twitter poll. Put up a picture of yourself, or use the one on your display picture on this very call, and see what people vote. And then that's ultimately what you are. People decide what your hair color is. If you thought it was yourself, you were wrong. You were mistaken.
Brutal.
But hey, at least you can see color because I am colorblind. I am actually the most severe colorblind you can be. Did you know that?
Hey, my little brother's also colorblind.
Is he?
Yeah.
And you're not.
And I'm not. As far as I know.
That's rare.
He's the only one in my family.
Well, I don't know, man. Now it's starting to make more sense. The fact that you can't see your own color in your own hair. I think you're going to want to do the number test. I'll send it to you. And if you can't
find
the number.
We'll do a poll.
Well, there's a lot of Atlanta stuff we got to talk about, guys. Because I don't really know. We can figure it out. Garrett, you're number one in the Power Rankings. Would you rather start with the Braves, Falcons, or the Hawks?
Let's do the playoff-bound Hawks.
Okay. You want to go optimistic. You're more of the optimistic.
Absolutely.
Guy, like yeah.
Let's keep it happy. You know, start happy. I mean, the Atlanta Hawks, I mean, they're killing the game right now. I mean, mm-hmm. I think they're what? I was just looking at 22-8 or something. Or not. What is it? 28-12 under Nate McMillan since he's taken over. I mean, this team it's white hot. I think they've won 6 out of 7. Yes, they haven't really played anybody that good, but at the same time, who cares? They're taking care of business. They rested all of their starters in the fourth quarter last night. That was a great sight to see. They just took care of business, washed their hands of the Dream. Or the Magic, rather. I don't know why I said the Dream. I think an ad just flashed across my screen right here. But they took care of business, and they rested all the starters by the fourth quarter. And look, that's a good thing for the Hawks. I mean, they're going to be rested going into the playoffs. I'm excited for it.
Max,
playing good basketball.
What about you? Are you still on your Eastern Conference champion, Atlanta?
Whoa, whoa, whoa! I never predicted that, but it's more in play now than it's ever been. Really. No, I mean, it's true they haven't really played anyone good lately, but the last time they played good teams, they were beating good teams. They beat the Suns, they beat the Bucks, they beat the Heat all in the span of about a week, and then they got this kind of easy schedule. And it's like they're just finding ways to win, whereas at the beginning of the year they were finding ways to lose, and that might be sort of an overly simplified way of saying it, but I think that's reflected sort of in the fourth quarter performances. I mean, Wednesday's game, second night of a back-to-back against the Wizards. It's just one of those games they kind of had no business winning. Like, they didn't play well. And yet, you know, fourth quarter, they turned it on. John Collins hits the big three. And, yeah, it was without Bradley Beal. That Wizards team was kind of dreadful. But, you know, they lost a lot of those games early in the year. And so they're just peaking at the right time, and I don't know if now is a good segue into your prediction that they're going to get swept by the Heat, especially now that looks like the Heat is going to be the matchup. But I just think that's such a credit to Nate McMillan that they are just finding ways to win all over the place, whereas they were finding ways to lose.
I am terrified, and I'm also just very annoyed that we're not going to get the Knicks in round one, because if we got the Knicks, I think it's just a flip of the coin how that series goes. The Heat, just there's no flipping. It's a loss, and it's going to be a painful quick loss. I fear. I'm not hoping this is the case, but that is,
can you elaborate on
Nate
that
McMillan
can
is
you elaborate
be so
on that?
Bad. I'm so concerned about what Eric Spoelstra is going to do to Nate McMillan in this playoff series. I think it was Garrett who went back on the podcast last week on just Nate McMillan's playoff record, and he hasn't won a playoff series since when?
Since he was with the Supersonics in like 2004.
It's
something like that.
It's a really, really bad playoff history for Nate. And he's been, it's not like it was a one-time thing. No, he's been in a lot, and it's been bad. And Spo is a top three coach in basketball, and what he did last year is just insanity. And them losing Oladipo, I think, is actually going to help them with the way they're playing, especially Tyler Herro has played of late, because I think he didn't really fit midseason and he wasn't playing like himself. And now they can give Goran more of those shots, and more like him off the bench has just been critical. And I don't even know what the Hawks are going to throw at Goran off the bench. They're going to have Jimmy, who is going to be the best player in the series. They're going to have the second best player in the series in Bam. I just think this is a matchup disaster for the Hawks.
See, I'm not as worried about Nate McMillan as I am just the utter lack of experience with the Atlanta Hawks in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, because once you have playoff basketball, it's a different animal. It's a completely different monster. And this is – I mean, this team is how many playoff games has anybody on this roster played? I mean, Clint Capella played in a couple when he was with the Rockets. I don't know if Bogdanovich has he ever played in the playoffs. I can't imagine.
No, he hasn't. Because I mean,
can't imagine he's played with the Kings.
So no, in the Kings. Yeah, so
Lou Will
in basketball.
Lou Williams. Yeah, he has some with the Clippers.
But he's also been bad.
He's a vet.
Lou Williams
can't
is one
say
of the
they've
worst.
Been very very good playoff games.
I was going to say Lou Williams is one of the worst playoff basketball players in basketball.
So that's really what I'm worried about. But at the same time, that's also one thing I'm kind of excited about because you really don't know what these guys are going to turn into, and it's just an unknown factor.
Have you watched Trevor Ariza lately?
Trevor Ariza?
He's been really good for Miami.
Who?
Like,
what?
Trevor Ariza is good for Miami. That's what I'm saying.
What?
Trevor Ariza is an important player for Miami now. That's
yeah,
what
did
saying.
You see Solomon Hill? Solomon Hill has been looking good,
Oh, I
too.
Love Solomon Hill. You don't have to say
oh, yeah,
that, my man.
I love Solomon Hill. Trevor Ariza, though. Come on now.
He's great.
Trevor Ariza. What are we talking about?
Trevor Ariza has been really good.
Quick Solomon Hill note. How about Nate taking Trey off the floor at the end of Wednesday's game, offense for defense with Solomon Hill, who of course ends up with the key rebound, gets fouled, makes both his free throws while Trey's on the bench. That was a savvy little move.
Do you think Lloyd Pierce could have pulled that off?
Absolutely not. No.
No. Yeah. No. Lloyd Pierce. No. No.
Yeah.
Lloyd Pierce would have found a way to make the wrong decision somehow. It's what he always managed to do. It just still blows my mind how he took this team and just ran it so far into the ground. And it's just so utterly apparent at this point.
So, but off, as of right
off
now,
of a, yeah. Oh yeah, go ahead. No, as yeah, of, I was just going to say okay. off the point about Solomon Hill, Trey subbing out, Nate McMillan, all of that. I think, and Chase, you were starting to touch on this, and I'm not sure if this is where you're going here, but. The thing that concerns me most about the Heat series is not, you know, Nate McMillan's history or the lack of experience, although those are all factors. I think Spo might be one of the best coaches in the league at being able to target teams' weaknesses and going at them. And that's what concerns me because the Hawks, you know, for as well as they're playing, they're a team with pretty clear weaknesses. And the ways that they are going to attack, Trey defensively is going to stress me out probably the whole series because you're not going to be able to hide him if the Heat are playing. You know, you don't really want him running, chasing around Duncan Robinson all game, but like that might be kind of where he's at.
Well, then Duncan's torching us. Like that's not going to work. Trey's not going to be
Michigan,
able to stop these
Michigan
screens.
Legend, Duncan Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I just want to play the Knicks, man. I mean, I'm holding out hope to play the Knicks mostly because I want to go to Madison Square Garden and watch a playoff basketball game. And cheer on my Hawks as they beat the New York Knicks. That would be a great feeling. I really want that to happen, but I'm just not convinced that they're going to be able to do it. I think both the Heat and the Knicks are playing the Bucks, and I don't think either of those teams win, especially with the Bucks who are trying to position themselves to take over that 2 seed if possible. So, man, it's such a bummer that we're going to play the Heat.
I of course want the Knicks too, but my perverse take is that. It would maybe be better for the Hawks if they played the Heat because, you know, if you play the Knicks and lose that series, then it's a disappointment. If you play the Heat and lose that series, let's say in 6, it's like, you know, you played a red hot defending Eastern Conference champion in the 4-5 and lost a 6-game series. And so what? Like, great season building on it for next year. And like, if they're going to lose in the second round anyway, is that not in kind of a weird way a better outcome?
Hmm. I also wonder what happens. Like, do they have to go 6 or 7 for Nate to keep his job and not have the interim tag still on him? Like, how does it have to go?
Well, I mean, as long as he doesn't get just absolutely blown out. Like, if the Hawks go out there and just get destroyed, then people maybe start to be, okay, like, is this really the position that we need to go? But I also think it's a little unfair. I mean, I think he's done everything that he needs to do to get that interim tag taken off. But I think they do want to see what he does in the playoffs. And as long as we don't get swept, which I don't think we will.
Can you imagine
maybe if we go in 5?
Podcast was predicting a sweep?
I don't think we get swept. We're not getting swept. We're too good of a team to get swept, in my opinion. Plus, it's a 4-5. I mean, the 4-5 is generally one of the best series of all, of, like, at least the entirety of the first round. All these other matchups are probably going to be done in five games. I don't think the Bucks, Nets, or Sixers are going to lose any more than one game. They're just by far and away the best teams in the Eastern Conference. This 4-5 is, I mean, honestly, it's probably, it has to be the best matchup, right? So I think this game goes six, at least six. But I don't want to completely lock in on the Heat yet because I'm still holding out hope.
I wonder how Trey is going to react when he doesn't get the foul calls that he's looking for in the playoffs. I want to see how he adjusts. Because that's going to happen. And Trey's going to look for it. Trey's going to try and get guys on his hip and get those foul calls. And the Heat are not going to allow that to happen. Like, that is the other thing. They are going to be so physical with Trey, with Herter, with Bogey, with Collins. Like, I am curious to see how that goes. There's going to be, I mean, we just saw what Haslam did last night. Like, this is going to be a physical series, and I think Miami's going to foul and be blatant about it and be all over Trey. And I'm curious to see how Trey responds to that.
Well, the Heat are also just a physical team.
Right.
And that's something, and I don't think that the Atlanta Hawks are necessarily, the Hawks are a lot of things, but physical is not necessarily one of them. If
no,
you're not talking,
not at all.
Especially on the, I'm at least on the perimeter. Down low, I mean, Clint Capella can rough it up with anybody. And I think he's probably one of the best, like, tough guys in the league when it comes to like doing the dirty work and getting rebounds and getting up there and doing what he needs to do. But I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about him at all. What I'm worried about, like you said, is Trey, because Trey has shown at times an inability to generate baskets if he isn't getting to the free throw line. And that has been a concern for a few games. I don't think it's been a massive concern throughout the entirety of the season because he is, I mean, he's putting up points. And I still think he'll come up, but I mean, I'm a little worried that he might start trying to get a little too flashy because he's shown a habit of doing stuff like that, where he's going to pull up at the logo and take crazy shots, trying to be Steph Curry and sink everything. I think, but he's been better since Nate McMillan has taken over. He's done a lot less of that. He did a lot when he was with Lloyd Pierce, but I think that that really stems from the offense's like Lloyd Pierce's inability to get this offense in rhythm and flow. Nate McMillan has done a lot better of a job at that. And so I think Trey has taken a lot fewer of those shots for that reason, but I don't know, man. The play of Trey Young is going to decide how far this Hawks team can go.
Interesting. I would say probably DeAndre Hunter's health and what he looks like and how much run he can get in this series, I think is going to be.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. I think there's a degree to which, and I've been harping on Hunter needs to get healthy. When Hunter gets healthy, that's going to salvage everything. I think there's a degree to which these three guards have really started to play well together to the point where even if Hunter is healthy, he's obviously going to play a lot. But I think that there's going to be times when Nate doesn't want to disrupt that, especially with the way Bogdanovich is playing. And I know those you know, you can play Bogdanovich, Trey, and Hunter together, obviously. But this team really has taken off since the Bogdanovich, Trey, Herter crew has gelled. And Hunter, when he's played, obviously hasn't looked very good because he's still getting his feet back, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to fully get back to his peak at any point this year. And so, yeah, you need him for defense, but if the Hawks team is going to win a series, it's going to be because of the offense. And that's kind of why, building off of that, like, they're one of the most sweep-averse teams in the playoffs just because of how good this offense is. It's just extremely unlikely they're going to go four games where they don't catch fire and win a game because they hit a million threes.
It's possible. It's possible. The Braves, on a happier note, everything's great in Atlanta with the Atlanta Braves. Things are going well. No, they are not. when do I get my adoration, fellas, from being right about the Christian Pache and betting on all the young people spots and not paying anybody, not going after any veterans and just betting on the linear development of all of these guys. Is it time?
No. No. Well, he's still a rookie, man. He's played. He's been hurt.
He literally should not be on this roster anymore this year. Like, Christian Pache should be banished to AAA and Gwinnett. He should be a striper for the season. Like, it's over. The confidence, I am so terrified. Is he batting under 100 now? Like, he was so bad in that Philly series. And I want him to be awesome. But this was coming in when they're like, oh, we got Andrew Jones in center field. I'm like, you're out of your mind. This dude is going to be lucky to hit 150 this year. Like, hitting the difference between AAA and Major League Baseball is just, You can't understate it. Just how many young guys we're about to see with Jared Kelenic. Is it Kelenic? I always forget how to pronounce his name. But it's very rare for guys to come in and immediately mash. Just very rare. And you got to be a superstar type guy. Even Acuna didn't come in this hot. And I mean, without Acuna this season, good Lord, I don't even know where to go with that. But yeah, I don't know. I think the Braves have to adjust, and them going in and just betting on their young guys and betting on their pipeline is just backfiring. Like, they need more starting pitching help. They need more bullpen help. They need more outfield depth. They need more guys to hit. And I don't know, man. The Braves are actually in not like disaster zone, but like they have to make some moves. And I think the Mets are the clear favorites. Now, I'm going to pull up Fangraphs at odds right now, but what do you guys think? Garrett, you're the more optimistic of the bunch.
Well, the most frustrating thing, I mean, just following the game yesterday, was I went and looked and checked on Mark Melancon and seeing how he's doing, and I nearly shoved my fist through a wall. I think the guy's like 17 of 17 for save opportunities, or 12 of 12 of save opportunities, or something absurd. He has like a 0.63 ERA. He is just absolutely on fire. And then Will Smith just blows it in the worst possible way. And God, this team has been so frustrating, so unbelievably frustrating. And it's not because it's not a good team. It's not why. It's because this team is so good. They just can't figure it out. And if it's not the starting pitching, it's the bullpen. And if it's not the bullpen, it's because the bats are asleep. And it's something. And it's been so frustrating to watch these guys. But there have been times where we've seen all of it come together at the same time. And this team goes out and beats the Cubs 10-0 and just absolutely destroys them. Or they go out and hit multiple home runs in a first inning and drop 9 runs. And but the thing is, this team is capable of doing that. They just haven't done it. And this bullpen has just been such a liability. They've been a sieve for runs. They put bait runners on base. Ugh. And then you have Mike Soroka, who's injured. You have Fried, who's just now coming back. Smiley, who I still don't think is healthy, and I don't think he's just not right. Something's wrong. And I mean, look, it's just frustrating. It's very frustrating to watch this team because you know what they're capable of. We've seen what they're capable of. But the comments on Pache is kind of he's been very frustrating to watch too. I mean, but he's also a young guy. He's what, 22 years old?
Yeah. But this is the problem when the timelines don't match up, where like the Braves just were just a blown series away from being a World Series team last year. Like, they should have been a World Series mm-hmm. team last year. And yeah. When you're on that contention timeline, you can't wait on Pache. You can't.
If Adam Duvall's healthy, the Braves were in the World Series last year.
Yeah.
You also can't leave yourself in a position where you can't pivot off of Pache if it doesn't work out.
Right.
Which is kind of where they are. Just a stat on Pache, just to hammer it home. In 68 plate appearances, he has a -6 OPS plus. I didn't know that was possible.
Oh, my God.
13 total bases. Those 13 total bases, the exact same number Huascar Ynoa has in 15 plate appearances. So I guess that's kind of my long-winded way of saying Huascar Ynoa should play center field. But no, I mean, it's
Huascar Ynoa is a stud, man. I love him.
No, it's just as much about not leaving yourself in a position where you have options to pivot away from. Like, let's say Austin Riley hadn't got hot, which he has sort of got hot. And you didn't leave yourself a position to pivot off of Austin Riley. Pablo Sandoval is not a viable option to really pivot there. And it's sort of the same thing now in center field. And it's like, it really is starting to feel sort of like one of those years. And we can sit here and lament injuries and all of that, where it's like, you can create excuses and reasons for everything. But it's just sort of starting to feel like one of those years where, like, man, if you every year with Acuna and Freeman together, specifically those two in their primes hitting like they are or supposed to, it just feels like you got to capitalize as much as you can, and I'm getting closer and closer to where Chase has kind of been all along.
I'm not happy to be right about this. It's driving me insane watching these games. I mean, that when it's good, it's great. When it's bad, it is so bad, kind of what Garrett alluded to. But like, I don't know. They're barely a playoff team, I think. Like, they're a wild card team. I think we can pencil out the division. I think that one's, that ship sailed. And
what?
So right now, the Braves have a 29% chance of making the playoffs, a 10% chance of winning the division. The Mets' odds are up to 80%. That is higher than the Brewers, where a division is closer. That is higher than most divisions in baseball. The Astros don't even have that. The White Sox are right around there at 70% in the AL Central, and the Yankees are at 61% in the AL East.
It's May 14th, man.
May 14th. I'm not. Games. You can't get back those 37 games. And I
No, of course not. But I mean, at the same time, it's like this is a team that all of it, as long as they stay close. I mean, they're four games back as it stands right now, and I think this team is perfectly capable of figuring all of their crap out. They definitely can. And I mean, you look at the Nationals from a couple of years ago, back in 2019 when they won the World Series. This was a team that was absolutely terrible. And then you have, like, it was like May 20th
hold on.
They or something. They were like 19
they were expensive. They had top of the line starters. They had a lot of guys that just weren't performing, and they were going to spin their way out of it. And they also had, I think they just had more talent, top veteran heavy talent. They had the shirts removed. They had guys that they went all in. That was an all in team. The Braves are not all in.
No, but I mean, they also just, I mean, they very well could be. I mean, like, this is a team. I mean, if you go out and they make some moves at the trade deadline, I don't know who they'd acquire. I got to look into it a little bit more. But you go out and if there are some like clear and obvious holes, which we do have, if they can go out and get some impact players, like some bullpen guys, maybe jump on a starter or something like that, and something that'll change the mentality of this team, then all of a sudden you could see this team just turn on the Jets and they'll be fine. Get to the playoffs and that's, and then you'll figure it out from there. But I mean, I'm not hitting the panic button yet. I mean, I'm a little upset. I'm frustrated, but I'm not saying that, oh, well, there goes the division. I just can't possibly say that. No way. Not until August.
Clairvoyant Maybe. Chase is not going to pivot off this one, unfortunately. Clairvoyant Chase is not going to pivot off this one. We have to come up with a bad idea. The Braves win the division, and if they don't, for Garrett and I, we'll work.
Deal.
We'll workshop it.
If those odds are 10%, he's got to get a little bit of a...
I got to get the... Yeah.
Oh!
I mean, it's not likely they win the division, but it's not out of the question.
No, we're only four games back, man. We'll be all right.
We'll see.
We haven't even played the Mets in a series yet. That's the thing. I can't pencil it out. Yeah, we play them next week. I mean, shit, we might go out and get swept by them, and then I'll come back to this podcast and be just... I have my head in my hands, but I mean, you never know. All of a sudden you play them three, four games, you sweep them, all of a sudden we're top of the division. So it's baseball, man. This is it's the ebbs and flows of the sport. It's the way she goes.
Max, true or false?
Yes.
Brian Snicker is the manager of the Atlanta Braves.
Man. Come on. In October, like this season?
Mm.
True.
Okay. Garrett, what do you think?
Absolutely, come October, yeah, no question.
To be fair,
you did say the same thing with Lloyd Pierce, and that was correct.
We can already see where this is going. And basketball coaches matter far more than baseball managers. And he has not had a great year. And you have guys like Washington and Wise who are just on the bench, like they could easily replace him. Like I don't think. I think there's going to be a fall guy when the division, when they get like 8 or 9 games out of the division, like he's going to be the fall guy.
We talk about Liberty Media, excuse me, not like spending a lot of money, but this is also the most expensive Braves roster ever, I believe. So,
well, hold on.
We're 13th in the league or something like that. So it's like, I think this is one of the higher ranking.
During the Liberty Media era, or because Ted Turner's roster?
Oh yeah, no, of the Liberty Media era. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. They have increased the payroll every single year. But what I'm saying is that with that kind of financial investment comes a lot of expectations. So I see what you're saying, and this team is on the cusp of World Series contention. Or they absolutely, without a doubt, should be. And I actually saw a tweet. It was definitely a joke, but it was basically saying that the Atlanta Falcons were finding ways to lose games and blow leads late, and then they fired Dan Quinn, and then all of a sudden you have Raheem Morris, and that kind of figured itself out a little bit, and the team started to win some more. And then you have the well, as much more as you possibly could have. And then you have Lloyd Pierce, who gets fired, finds ways to lose games, gets canned. Then all of a sudden the Hawks are winning games. Then it's like, oh, next up, Snitker, which, I mean, I thought was a little morbid, but because I think Snitker is by far and away the better coach of the three guys. Better than Dan Quinn and better than
I would disagree.
Lloyd Pierce.
Dan Quinn with the Super Bowl. Dan Quinn wasn't bad.
No. Quinn, I would love to go on a Dan Quinn tirade about how he's all secretly.
Well, I'm saying he's not worse than Brad Snitker. And also, I'm not sure the value of Major League Baseball managers anymore. Like, I just don't understand.
I don't know. There's value.
Like, I would rather Alex Anthopoulos be able to text in the lineup and be able to make the in-game adjustments. Would any of you guys disagree that Alex Anthopoulos would be better suited to just make all the changes in-game?
You're out of your mind.
No, I trust him way more. I would absolutely pick Alex Anthopoulos. Yeah.
No. Oh, man. No, the point is, I still think that Snit's going to be this head coach. I think he's going to be here. The players love him. They absolutely adore him. The fans.
Oh, I seem to recall
most fans
coach that the players.
Yeah,
left.
Wait, didn't? Yeah.
Well, but what I'm saying, is like you have Freddie Freeman, Ronald Acuna. Those voices carry a lot of weight. And
well, Freddie
you
Freeman
saw that. I mean,
be a Brave after this year.
I'm not prepared for a world that Freddie Freeman is not an Atlanta Brave.
You need to prepare, sir. Because
price tag,
contract negotiations have broken down, sir.
Well, I don't fully buy into all that. I he's going to be a Brave. He's going to be a Brave. If he's not, I'd be shocked.
Longer tenure in Atlanta, Freddie Freeman or Brian Snitker?
Freeman.
I would say Freeman if I had to pick between the two. Yeah,
because you'd think Snicker's gone by October.
Yes, I do.
Exactly.
And Freddie I would actually be shocked if Snicker's.
No, because this team's going to be hoisting a World Series trophy.
I mean, that'd be awesome.
I hope so. Man.
I was thinking about that the other day. What do you guys think? What would be the best? I think it's Falcons for me still.
Falcons.
I think it's still Falcons, right? Like, which title would mean the most? I think it's Falcons still.
Braves or Falcons.
Isn't that weird? I might
cry ugly tears. I would cry ugly tears if the Falcons won a Super Bowl. Like, it would.
But the Hawks winning the NBA title would be far and away the most improbable of those.
Yes.
Which is
yeah.
It would be weird. Crazy. It would be like if it would feel wrong, I think.
Right. It's like the Raptors winning with Kawhi. It was just one of those things where like the Toronto Raptors won a world title. That's just weird to just say that like the Toronto Raptors, like they were so bad for so long. It'd be like the Memphis Grizzlies, I think, too, maybe doing it. Speaking of the Falcons though, we'll end with this. The schedule release has come out. They're practicing Flowery Branch. I'm growing on the uniforms, guys. I don't know about you. But outside of the gradient monstrosities, the uniforms are growing on me.
Seeing them on the field changed it. I mean, it was that one leaked photo that they had of the one dude like from behind. It was an ugly photo. It was grainy. It looked bad. And then I think that kind of changed the perception of everybody. And then obviously people are going to crap on it. Half the people are going to hate it, and half the people are going to absolutely fawn over it. But I think a lot of people came around. Me specifically, like you just said too, and once you saw him on the field, it looked better. See him in action.
Did you see Schultz take away, or he pointed out that the Falcons did not include Julio in the 17 game preview on their site, and then they inserted him in after? Did you see that?
It's weird.
It's a little creepy. I don't like that. I don't like that. It makes me I get goosebumps because I don't want Julio to leave, man. I need him in a Falcons jersey.
But okay, let's do this.
There's a very realistic chance.
I'm gonna add Julio in here. Julio Snitker Freeman. Most likely
Freeman
to be gone in the next 6 months.
Julio.
Who is it?
Julio.
Yeah. Wow.
Julio. It is. It has to be. I mean, Snit's gonna be the head coach of the Atlanta Braves next year. Freddie Freeman's going to be a Brave until he retires. And then you're going to have, or maybe, unless he has like one of those like extraneous adventures at the end of his career. But no, Julio Jones, I'd give him, I've moved up. I was 50-50 at one point, but I'm giving it like a 75% chance that he's not on this roster.
True or false? JaVion Hawkins.
Same exact number.
Javion Hawkins leads all Falcons running backs in total yards this fall.
I really like Javion Hawkins. Same. I don't know how he didn't get drafted. He was pegged as like a 6th round guy, 5th round, and we got him as an undrafted free agent. He is one of the steals of the draft, I have to say. I mean, the guy.
I'm all in.
I like him. I like him. I don't think it's Mike Davis who's going to lead he's going to lead in touches. I mean, like he has to. He's getting the money. But Javion Hawkins, I mean, I could see him like realistically coming in and creating some noise, especially if there's an injury or something and he has to step up, because then Javion Hawkins can really jump in. But he's definitely going to be a draft and stash kind of guy for fantasy football. I'm telling you that much.
Yeah. Malik Hooker's still sitting out over there. Like, I don't know about you guys. Still a little concerned. I don't want to throw Richie Grant out there. It doesn't look like Harmon's going to start. It looks like it will be Eric Harris and Jalen Hawkins, and I don't know if I'm comfortable with Hawkins. Then you got Isaiah Oliver at one of the corner spots, which I'm still... And then we got Fabian Moreau. I wish Darquez Denard was still back with this team. I really liked him last year.
Has he re-signed anywhere?
No. I don't think so.
I don't think he has. I mean, I guess...
Are you Kendall Sheffield guys? Because I'm not Kendall Sheffield guy either.
I am a Kendall Sheffield guy, okay. Actually. I not in the sense of like he's, you know, he deserves a guaranteed spot right now, but in the sense of like I'm not sure we've actually seen a prolonged stretch of him being healthy and seeing what his talent can do. So I believe in it.
Okay.
The Wolverine cheering for the Buckeye. Crazy to think about.
I know.
It's gonna be really weird, guys, seeing the numbers. I'm already seeing Pitts with 8. It's going to take some getting used to. It's very strange.
I'm all in. I'm all in on Kyle Pitts, number 8. Like, everything about it.
It's just we're going to have to get reconditioned, right? Like, the ads on jerseys took a while, and then you're just like, you don't even notice it anymore. Like, we won't notice it, and it's just weird because we don't notice it in college football. I've never once been like, whoa, number 98, who is that, Devin Gardner? Like that,
nah,
that quarterback
single digits on the defensive line.
Yeah, we don't notice it.
No, that's badass. If you're wearing a single digit on the defensive line, you know that guy is really damn good.
Or you know that guy's eating a lot. There's never been a guy who's a single digit defensive lineman who's not just eating pancake after pancake all day long.
Oh yeah,
they'll be eating up offensive linemen. That's what they're doing. You can't wear a single digit and not be good. If you are, that's like a slap in the face of football gods.
All I know is I've already come to grips with how much money I'm gonna have to spend on Kyle Pitts in my fantasy auction draft, and I'm just, it's a sunk cost at this point. It's already done.
Interesting. So do you do the auction draft? You do like what kind of league do you play? Okay.
If you're not doing an auction draft, like you're playing. Like you're playing in the shallow end of the pool.
What's your budget?
$200.
$200. Shit. So it's like, wow. Is it blind? So it's blind, or is it like just people?
You guys have never done auction drafts?
I have never.
Never the auction. I do auction free agency. I do auction free agency.
If you go, well, auction free agency is good too, but if you go to auction draft, I promise you, you will never go back. It's 100 times more strategic, way more fun.
That makes sense. I guess that makes sense. You can just go all in on certain positions and maybe...
Yeah, you have access to everybody in the draft. You could theoretically... If there's someone you want, theoretically, you can go get them. You just... For the right price.
What happens if you... Say you, like, run... I don't know. Does it go one player at a time, or do you just go in and, like, hey, these are
someone,
all of the
someone
players.
Nominates a player. They start the bidding. The bidding, you know, you can click bid this much. You know, you can enter a dollar amount and...
How long does that take?
You know, not that much longer than a normal draft. There's still a clock and a time and a, you know, it moves along.
I'm intrigued. I'm definitely intrigued. We got to talk more about this once we get a little closer to football season.
Oh yeah, I'll convert both of you for sure.
I don't know. I'm kind of a traditionalist when it comes to snake drafts, man.
He's also a traditionalist when it comes to managers being necessary in baseball. That is another big
and game. Wearing jerseys.
Yeah, that's just an insanity. It's a beautiful day here. I'm not getting angry about it.
It's baseball. It's baseball, man. It's baseball. They got to wear their jerseys.
They don't.
They look good.
They don't look good. None of that is.
I like it.
Garrett is just living it. What is more egregious, Max? We'll end here because you got to go. Managers wearing uniforms or Garrett not understanding that he's a redhead? Which is more egregious?
I mean, you know, I'll go with managers because Garrett knows his hair color better than I do. But all I know is I'm looking at a picture of Garrett right now, and you know, it looks pretty red. That's all.
I Y'all are crazy.
This is incredible. I don't know what kind of dysmorphia we call this, but hair color dysmorphia was not something I thought we would touch on in this very podcast, but it's incredible. I'm here for it. Guys, that is all we've got today. Max Markovich, Garrett Chapman, thank you as always. We'll be back next week, hopefully with some Braves wins, and then we get a big Hawks playoff preview. Like, I'm excited. Oof. We get Hawks playoff basketball right around the corner. I'm excited about all that, and then we get some Falcon stuff, fingers crossed on injuries as they start working out again, because this is like the scariest time with that, non-contact stuff like that. So fingers crossed on that front, but thank you as always, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.